Welcome to the Going Merry Podcast, the number one One Piece rewatch podcast on the internet. My name is Derek, and I am one of your hosts. And today, as always, I have with me Amanda. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Whitney cannot be here today. She is not feeling well. So get to feeling better, Whitney. Amanda, you were not with us last week.
No.
So that brings to the question of just last week's episodes. Any, what do you think? I know you watched them.
Yeah, I watched them while I was in the hotel. They were quite a bit more entertaining than the last few sets that we've watched, and I was like, damn it, of course, I'm not here to talk about these ones. I found Robin's Bell while I was on my work trip. It's in Philadelphia. And it's not as big as I thought it was going to be. It's okay. I did like those episodes though. We got a little bit more move the story forward. I also was reminded that Eneru has devil fruit powers. I don't know if we, I think we already knew about that, but I just didn't remember. It's like, oh yeah, that makes sense then. That's where all the Palpatine lightning's coming from.
So,
Go ahead.
I have a question for you that we discussed last week.
Oh yes, I did hear. I listened to that while I was on my flight home to avoid throwing up from that ridiculous tiny plane that I was on.
Of course you did. So did you catch on to Luffy not being affected by Eneru's abilities before he got shocked?
Yes, like
You
right
did.
before,
You
because
did. You thought
I
about it.
was
Okay.
thinking about it a little. And then we can get into this more later too, but once Nami. We got a lot of like internal monologue from her last set and then this set too. And I'm assuming that's just because there wasn't anyone for her to talk to. Like there were no crew members with her. So, in order for us to kind of figure out what's going on, we had to have all that internal monologue from her. So, like, she was talking a lot about his abilities with like with the lightning and stuff. And I feel like she kept bringing it up. And I was thinking, like, don't you have that weather stick? Like, can't you do something with this lightning that you keep pointing out and keep thinking about? And like, I feel like she was thinking about what would counteract the lightning. I'm like, use your fucking weather stick, lady. So then, with that being in my brain, then I think like right before they started, Luffy and him started to fight, I was like, that he's not gonna get electrocuted because he's rubber, right? That's a thing. And then that we got it, got that explanation. So I was at least glad that I remembered that, because I feel like this might be completely wrong, but I feel like you're supposed to, like, that's why plugs and stuff that go into the wall are like all coated with whatever rubber-ish material, because it doesn't conduct any
rubber
electricity, so you're not
and
going to get
plastic.
shocked. Yeah. So that's why you don't stick a fork into an outlet.
That
Stick a
is
rubber
true.
fork in there.
Or a fork with a rubber handle, that would work.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because yeah, I started thinking about that too. Like, and the other thing I've thought about it with Eneru is because like, so here's the thing. Because I've thought about this a lot, which is really stupid. So like, I know with an electric fence, if you touch an electric fence, it shocks you because you're grounded, like you are the ground and it's running through you. But if you jump and you are in midair and touch an electric fence, it will not shock you because you're not grounded. You're in midair. So it has to have a ground. And that's why, like, on a lot of the bigger telephone wires and stuff like that, workers will use a helicopter to work on them
Oh.
because they're not grounded. They can't be shocked. Or like birds, a bird that sits on an electric fence or
Right.
an electric line,
Because
they're
they're not
not
touching anything
grounded.
else. Oh.
It's
Birds.
like,
I never thought about that.
so like I've thought about that. Like, would someone still get electrocuted by Eneru's ability if they are in midair? And Like, I'm trying to think. I don't know that we've seen it happen yet.
I don't know. Now I'm trying to think about like Thor.
Right? And now it's like, and then like part of me is like, that's not right because planes can still get hit by lightning. Like, that's still a thing, even though they're not grounded.
Right. But it doesn't do anything to the plane,
Yeah,
right? It just kind of
right.
like.
Well, so the movie that pops in my head when I think about this is We Are Marshall. Didn't their plane get hit with lightning and went down?
I don't remember that movie. I remember it exists, but I don't
I've
think
seen
that
it a
I've
few.
seen it.
I've seen it quite a few times. It's a good movie. So listeners, I'm sure
I
there's
don't
like
know. Do we have
some
any
science.
meteorologists
I was
out
gonna
there?
say someone is qualified. Okay. Shoot us a message to let us know the answers, the answers to these burning questions, because I
Like, does
don't
it
know how that would
matter like how
work.
strong the voltage is? Because if it's like coming from Mjolnir, aka Jonathan, like is that going to like
Mew.
just eliminate the need to be on the ground or not? I don't know.
But see, because like then it wouldn't have worked on the Chitauri in the first Avengers when he was
Right.
shooting it up.
Because it's like Norse lightning.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I love
If
the
you're a
turn that this
Norse
is.
god, please write in and let us know.
Chris Hemsworth, let us know what you think.
Yes, please do.
A friend of the show.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff to think about. Now I want to find a meteorologist and talk to them about this to see if they know.
Al Roker.
That'd be good. Like, shoot him a message on Twitter. Hey,
Yeah.
is Eneru's ability possible?
I'm sure there's like weirdly, I've come across this several times on TikTok Live. There are meteorologists who are just like talking about the weather if there's a storm or something. So I don't know, maybe if I come across one of those again, I'll slide in there and ask the question.
Yeah, do that. I've like I'm kind of I'm honestly kind of curious now. Like, I want to know. Okay, anyway, I wanted to ask you that question, so you can continue. Any other thoughts from last week's episodes?
I really liked the Gum Gum Days. I felt like that was me last week and just frequently in general, like just not
Just
really being conscious, just fumbling about my life.
okay.
Yeah.
So this week we watched episodes 184 to 188. I liked these episodes, especially the last couple episodes where we're kind of getting the flashbacks. I thought those were really interesting. The rest of them were kind of slow for me. I mean, Luffy got hurled off the boat and then not a whole lot happened. It mostly felt like people just changing locations and discussing what was going on while changing said locations. Like, it didn't really feel like a lot happened other than that. But the last couple episodes kind of saved this week's episodes overall for me because I did really enjoy them.
Yeah,
What
I agree. It was a lot of like Luffy rolling with his big golden ball
The
hand.
ball, yeah.
I'm glad that they all kind of ended up back in the same location towards the end, so at least they all know where each other is. But I also really liked the last couple episodes. I liked getting that background because I guess I kind of forgot a little bit about that whole thing with Noland.
Yes.
So that was kind of nice to tie it back in. And now I'm wondering kind of
Where it
where the end
goes.
of that story is gonna go. Yeah.
I can't remember. I think we have another episode, maybe two of it. I don't remember
Yeah,
exactly. I
because it
know it's
didn't
a little
like
bit longer.
quite. Yeah, it felt like it was about almost over, but I feel like I could see it going one more episode probably.
I think it's just one more, but it might be two. I can't remember. Okay, we can go ahead and jump right in here with 184. The citizens of Skypiea warn the Shandorians of the coming attack by Enru. On the Maxim, Luffy swings and Enru melts a giant gold ball onto Luffy's arm. He hurls the ball off the side of the airborne ship and Luffy gets dragged off with it. Sanji finally wakes up on the Mary and is having trouble catching up with the situation. All he knows is that Nami is in trouble and it's time to wake Usopp up. Now that Luffy is out of the air, he decides that his or Enru decides it is time to go after the bell. Sanji takes advantage of Usopp's belt and is able to get a hook on the Maxim from below, while Nami finally stands up to Enru on the main deck. So, 184, what'd you think?
Was okay. Kind of like what I just said. It was a lot of like, here's the ball. Now he's stuck with a big ball in his hand. At first I was kind of like, what are they gonna like, where are they going with this? Now he's got this thing on his hand. Now what, just push him off the boat. That I guess that's where we're going with it. And yeah, I'm glad Sanji and Usopp finally got up. Woke up only to get electrocuted again
Because they've been
shortly
down for like
later.
20 episodes already.
I know. Makes sense that like Nami being in trouble would be the thing to get Sanji going again. And yeah, I mean, I guess that little like hook belt thing that Usopp has proven itself to be helpful, but then they keep messing up using it. Like this is like the third time already that they've like, okay, it's helped, but then, oh shit, I forgot to disconnect it from myself.
I
So,
know. I thought he was going to fix that.
yeah, I mean, clearly not, but then Nami finally uses her staff. So I'm
Yeah.
glad she realized that she had that thing. 'Cause I feel like she, I don't know, she's been carrying it around. So, like, why aren't you using that? Get it out.
Yeah,
But yeah.
I agree. I think that I was excited to see her use it, and that's like, and no, over these this episode and the next one, like I was really impressed with Nami like holding her own against Enru for as long as she did, because like really the only person so far that's been able to kind of stand up to him has been Luffy. I mean, Wiper did a little bit, but Nami's held herself pretty well. Like it was impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, 'cause I feel like she really got a grasp on how to use it. With Miss All Sunday, I think that's what was happening, right? Was it All Sunday? No, wait,
Double
Miss
finger.
Double Finger.
Yeah.
So I think that was the last time she used it, and it seemed like she figured it out pretty well, like what the
Well,
weather reaction things were.
she used it against Hotri and Kotri earlier this arc too.
Oh, yes, forgot about
Yeah,
that.
she used it well against them too, though.
Yeah, so she's got some practice with it. And she seems like she knows, which I think makes sense, her being like navigation minded. I feel like weather goes along with that and like wind patterns and stuff. So I feel like she, that should be something that's like within her range of talent. But
Understanding weather patterns and stuff like
yeah.
that.
So I mean, I'm glad she finally used it. I think she probably was just too freaked out before. And then once she saw that Luffy was around and then got in trouble, she was like, okay, I better do something now.
Yeah, for sure. I thought Sue was adorable
Oh, yeah.
trying to explain what happened to Konis. I was like, oh, that's so cute.
Poor little Sue. Aw.
And then yeah, I really hated the gold ball bit with Luffy. I know the fight itself hasn't necessarily been going on long, but the arc itself has
Yeah.
just drug on. So adding this on top of it is just not my favorite.
Yep.
But I know they have to have some sort of storm before the wrap up and like act like Luffy's defeated just to keep you on your toes kind of thing. But
Yeah.
I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, 'cause I mean like he was right there and then they just took him right back, put him somewhere else far away again.
And like I guess too, because like Luffy was handling the fight pretty well. So it's like if this is going to be your big bad of this arc, and Luffy just beats him that easily, that does feel like kind of pointless. Like, was it really a big bad then if he just got his ass whooped that easily?
Right.
So
Yeah, then
I
it's
can see
like,
that.
well, Luffy can just easily defeat gods with no
With no
You know, no
trouble, yeah.
trouble.
So I get both sides of it, like trying to give Enter some sort of dominance through it, other than shocking everybody else besides Luffy. So I don't know. Anything else on this one? Are you ready to go on a 185?
No, nothing else.
Okay. Sanji and Usopp are on the Maxim, and Sanji charges for Enru while Usopp heads to take out the Maxim from the inside. Below, Robin gathers the bodies of her comrades and Wiper, and Aissa helps Luffy pry himself out of the ground while Nami tends to Enru's or while Nami fends off Enru's attacks above. Just as she is about to be zapped, Usopp jumps in. A splinter embeds itself deep under your fingernail. A piece of paper cuts across the skin of your knuckle. Five canker sores inflaming in your gums. Sanji jumps in just before Enru can take out both Usopp and Nami. While he sticks back, Nami and Usopp fly over the edge of the Maxim. As soon as Enru takes out Sanji, the Maxim's weather machine making or as soon as Enru takes out Sanji, the Maxim's weather machine making the clouds explodes. I do think I the beginning of my summary here, because I thought the way I understood it that Sanji was gonna charge toward Enru while Usopp took out some of the insides, but it kind of went backward there toward the end. Like Usopp got to Enru first, and it turned out Sanji was the one. So that a little bit confused me. I don't know what happened there. We already talked about it. I was pretty impressed with Nami here in this episode. But like Usopp standing
That
on
was
top
so funny. Those random, like, really uncomfortable nails on a chalkboard thing. I was like, this is so dumb, but so funny.
I've said before, like Usopp's comedy, a lot of it does not hit. I understand he's supposed to be the comic relief and everything. Most of it does not hit with me, but this was fucking funny.
Yeah. And then they were both like, ooh, every time he would say it, they both cringed.
Well, Eru didn't.
No, him, Usopp and
Usopp
Nami did, yeah.
and Nami did. But it was so
Didn't
funny
have
because
the
like
intended effect.
it was so funny because like Nami cringes and he's and Usopp's like, cover your ears, you idiot. This stuff can kill
Yeah,
you.
right.
Yeah, that was so fucking funny. And I'm convinced the only reason Enru didn't cringe is because he doesn't know what paper or a splinter is.
Right, that makes sense. Yeah, he's probably like, what the fuck is this guy
He's
talking
like,
about?
this guy's an idiot. None of these things matter to me.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that was uncomfortable.
Oh man, yeah, that was great. I loved it. What'd you think of this episode?
This one was kind of entertaining because we had a little bit more stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of like, but then at the same time, I was a little irritated with both of Nami and Usopp because they had a little bit of like a, they were fighting with each other, just like arguing back and forth, like earlier in the episode. I was like, come on, are you guys really fighting about this shit right now? You're like right in the middle of this intense situation here. Like, get it together. But then I also kind of liked it because it was very like siblings fighting, so kind of like that dynamic between the two of them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then I guess I didn't really quite understand either what they were doing, Sanji and Usopp, when they split up. So I realized at the end, once things started to explode, I was like, oh, he went inside and jacked everything up. Okay.
Yeah, I think the thing that confused me, I think maybe I just sat with it too long, was when Sanji said, or when Sanji told Usopp or whatever, like, if it comes down to it, I will risk your life to save
Yeah, right. And he's like, what?
Nami. Like, I think maybe I just sat on that a little too long because I wasn't thinking about what he said next. But yeah, that was funny too. I enjoyed that. I like that was the things I did like about this episode was Sanji and Usopp going up. And I was glad that they weren't like it felt like after they got up there, they got shit done and got down. Like that did not feel like a thing that drug on very long.
Yeah.
So I was glad they got through all that stuff pretty quickly, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they can take a lot because they were all bandaged up still, and then they were just getting constantly hit. So, I mean, props to them, I guess. Oh, and the title of this episode was funny. I forget the whole part of it, but like the back half was like the Burning Love Rescue. Like, really?
Of
That's what we're
course,
doing here?
it was. That sounds like something with involving Sanji.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I don't remember who it was the other day that was talking about it. I heard someone talking about Sanji and the ordeal of love from Fighting Satori, and they were like, that was just so stupid and funny.
Oh, speaking of Sanji and love, there was a funny like Valentine's Day post that the One Piece Instagram account put up. But they didn't put up the whole video for some reason. Like, it's the full video's on Twitter. So if you do feel like going to watch it,
Oh,
it's
okay.
just the One Piece Netflix socials or whatever. They posted a video of Taz Skyler making a cocktail. And so
I
they
did
did it
see
real
that.
it was really funny though. Like the part that they cut off on Instagram was like the best part, because they had him like making the drink and whatever and putting it into a shaker, but then for some reason they cut off the part where he was shaking the drink because they like really did it up in the full video. And they like
Yes.
they had him like they showed him shaking it from like multiple angles, and they like slowed it down and they put like sexy music in the background. It was really funny.
I do remember that. Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, the drink did not look good to me.
No,
It didn't. I would have expected it to
it
be
was
a
a
prettier
little.
drink.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little surprised that they just put straight up fresh ginger in it. Because usually you
Yeah.
like make a syrup. Like you would boil sugar and pieces of ginger, and you can make a ginger syrup that way. But this was just straight up like grating ginger into it, which is really strong.
Yeah, so there is a shot that I've always wanted to try, and I haven't tried it. It's called the Princess Shot. And it's just like it's just a very bright pink, and I'm like, that looks good. And
What's in
like
it?
I want to say it was also called like the Jolly Rancher shot or something like that. It just sounded good. And I think it had like some sort of watermelon pucker, or I can't remember,
That
but
makes
the
sense.
like the stuff that was in it sounded really good. And it was like it was just a very good looking drink. And for me, like, I'm not a cocktail person, I'm a beer person. I like my beer, but every once in a while a good cocktail just hits right, you know? And it's you can enjoy the cocktail more if it's a pretty
Yeah, I
cocktail.
really like I like to I like to drink too much probably, but I like beer and wine and alcohol, like liquor cocktail drinks. It's all fun, and I like to try all different kinds just to see what they taste like. And there's a really like fun way to make gin cocktails. Like there's one, I forget what brand it is, Empress Gin, and it's blue because they use butterfly pea flower extract or something in there. And when
Butterfly
you,
pea flower.
yeah, something like that. Um,
Okay.
so it's like powdered in the wood. It turns things blue, but when you add acid to it, it turns purple. So they'll make a cocktail with gin and lemon, so it'll turn the liquid purple.
Okay,
Yeah,
interesting.
it's fun.
My favorite one is so one of my previous jobs, I worked at a movie theater, which for their sake, I'm not going to name which brand it was. But it was a movie theater that I was a manager for, and they had, you know, because a lot of movie theaters do like theme drinks for movies and stuff like that. And most of their drinks were absolute dog shit.
Yeah, those are not super great.
And still, I just tried one not too long ago when I was at a different movie theater, and I tried their theme drink, and it was terrible. But this particular drink was fucking amazing. And it is my favorite cocktail I've ever had. And I saved the recipe for it. And so every time I go to a bar now, I give them the recipe. I'm like, make
What is it?
it. It's let's see. Tito's vodka, Malibu rum, or the coconut rum, pineapple juice, sweet and sour. And I feel like there's another blue curacao. And then top it with Sprite. And it's like a very,
Seems like a tropical drink.
it is, yeah. Like it very strong pineapple and coconut flavors in it. And it's so good. And you can't, like, tasting it, you can't even taste alcohol. Like, it's something you could sit there and just down.
Yeah.
And
Those are dangerous because, I mean,
I
if you make
know.
cocktails right, you're not supposed to taste the alcohol. It's just supposed to taste balanced and nice.
Yeah. So that is a freaking great drink. So if I'm gonna get a
Oh, there's
cocktail, that's
one.
pretty
If
much
you
the one I
ever
go to.
come to Columbus, there's a place that has these cute little drinks that's coconut pineapple. And they serve it to you in a can that's like a coconut milk can. So they just kind of they must save them and then use them as cups.
I
But they're
mean,
really cute.
there's gonna be a Comic-Con this year, right? There somewhere. Maybe I'll just plan
In
on coming up there
December.
for.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a long ways away.
It's always in December. Well,
Okay.
lately it's been in December anyway.
I've got plenty of vacation time. I can do that.
It'll prop well, I mean, we also went to that one in Knoxville, but I feel like I mean, it was entertaining, but the guest list was better at the Columbus one.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
We'll play that one by ear. 'Cause see, my job forces me to take off a week somewhere throughout the year.
Yeah.
Like I have vacation time I have to get rid of besides that anyway. But like I've always done, like the past couple of years I've always went somewhere. I went to Europe 2 years ago, and then last year I went to Green Bay and went to the Packers game. And like
Yeah.
I always find something to do with that week. So maybe we'll figure that out, and I can just take a few days out of that week to swing up there.
Yeah, the dates are out already. I forget what exactly they are, but it's the first weekend in December, I think.
Okay. Makes it easy. My boss is gonna hate it that I'm waiting so long to use it.
It's okay.
She's gonna
It
be
should
like,
be fun. We'll look at all
Darren, take
the.
your 5 days.
Yeah, I know, right? I have so many. We stop accruing it once you hit a certain number, but I think I looked the other day and it looked like I had a lot, but I had just taken like 10 days for my last trip, so I don't know how I have so much still.
Yeah,
Oh well.
it's gonna be weird for me because like right now I have more vacation time than I've ever had before in my professional working career. So I'm not gonna know what to do with all the vacation time that I have this year. It's gonna be weird.
Yeah, I mean, I always want to take a trip. Like I feel like I waste my vacation days if I just take some like days off and stay at home. I always want to like go somewhere, but it costs money.
See, I always feel like I need to stay home. And then I don't. I'm like, yeah, I need to just take the days and just chill at home. And then I don't. And I go somewhere and I'm like, fuck, there goes my bank account.
I know it's a lot. I should have taken time off when I got back because that was like I for sure needed a vacation after that trip. And then I think I got COVID after that. I was sick, but I took a COVID test and it was negative. But then the like a couple weeks later I was out with my friend and then she told me she had COVID and we had like gone to a brewery and shared a bunch of beer and then I somehow didn't get sick. So I probably had COVID and I was using like an old test or something.
Man. Well, I'm glad we got off on such a long tangent here, going from cocktails and trip advice and
Cocktails
everything
and
else. That's
COVID.
the name of the fucking that's the name
Nice.
of the episode right fucking there. Cocktails and COVID.
Wonderful.
I it. Okay, 186. Usopp climbs back over the edge to grab Sanji after Eneru heads inside to check the damage of the Maxim. The two Straw Hats drop to the cloud sea below where Nami waits for them. Luffy sprints up Giant Jack while Robin looks up from below. Nami and Usopp join her with a knocked out Sanji, and they decide that Nami will go up after Luffy while the others prepare to flee for when they get back. Above, Eneru charges his final attack. What did you think of this episode?
This one wasn't too bad. I had like a couple of comments on this one. The another like title one I didn't had no idea what this word meant. So the title was Capriccio to Destruction, the impending doom of Sky Island. So I didn't know what a Capriccio was, and I was like, this is a very weird word to put in this title.
I'm not for sure on that one either.
Yeah, so I looked it up and it says it is a lively piece of music, typically one that is short and free in form, or a painting or other work of art representing a fantasy or a mixture of real and imaginary features. So it seems like something kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Not mystical, but fantastical. So yeah, I don't know. Like it sounds like it just means like it went from this magical world of Cloud City. I know that's not what it's called. I'm thinking about Star Wars. But
Lando
and now
Calrissian's just gonna appear out of nowhere.
with a cape. But yes, it went from that and now it's being destroyed. So they got real fancy with their titles in this one. Oh, I forgot to say last episode that I really liked the little hands that Robin had made every to carry everyone.
Yes, I
I
liked that
didn't,
too.
I looked away like right at the beginning, and then when I looked back, I just saw a body moving with little hands below it, and I was like, what the fuck happened? Like, what is this? And then I remembered about Robin. I was like, okay, that's good.
Yep,
Creative.
caught up
Way to
now.
go. And then speaking of Robin, I noticed this a couple times ago, I think, but I just decided to talk about it now, that she calls everybody by their jobs at this point. So she's like swordsman, navigator, whatever. And then she calls Usopp long nose.
Yes.
And not sharpshooter. That's kind of funny. But so I was kind of wondering like why she was doing that, because she does know who they are. Like she knows what their names are.
Yeah, the
But
only you
I
might
guess
notice the
I.
only person she doesn't is Luffy. She calls
Okay.
Luffy Luffy, and everyone else she
Yeah.
calls him by their name or
I
by
was
their
like, is
job
that.
title.
Yeah, I wondered why. I was like, I wonder if that's just like a formality or if she's trying to. Because she's been alone for such a long time. I wondered if she was just trying to like kind of put a distance between herself and other people as a means to like not get so close.
That makes sense. I think that's a very rational thought.
Yeah.
I'm thinking similar. I think it's a trust thing. Like I think that there is just a little bit more trust established with Luffy, and that's why she calls him by his name,
Right.
because of what they went through on Alabasta together, between her saving him after he got penetrated by crocodile, and then him saving her, going the other way out of the crypt.
Right.
So I
Yeah, that
think,
makes sense.
I think that might be a little bit of it. It's just Luffy has kind of earned her trust, maybe a little bit more than the others have.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think it's kind of cool. I mean, it's a little sad if it's to if it's a trust thing, but it's just kind of fun to hear them addressed that way as opposed to their names.
Yeah, it's a very formal thing.
Yeah, I guess beyond that, like I'm glad everybody's starting to wake up so that she's not having to carry them all over the
Yes.
place. And then yeah, Luffy makes it back from rolling all over town, destroying shit. So hopefully he'll get back up there and
Rather quickly.
yeah. That was an unnecessary obstacle, but that's okay.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I gotta give Usopp some credit for this. Like, just for these episodes overall, like between he did jump in and he was helping Nami a little bit, even though it was a little bit more of a comedic thing than him actually being serious help. But like staying up there, because like he didn't know that Sanji was gonna do what he did, and that Enru would go charging back in there because he's electric charging anyway. He didn't know that Enru was gonna go back into the boat, so it was brave of Usopp for once to stay on the boat and go back for Sanji. So I do want to give him
Right.
some credit for that.
Yeah.
And like I was watching the people getting back up, and I started wondering if there's some sort of time frame that that they stay down after Enru hits them. Because I guess I started thinking about it. I was like, Sanji got hit first. He woke up first. Usopp got hit second. He woke up second. And then out of Nami, Zoro, and Wiper, or not Nami, Robin, Zoro, and Wiper, it went
Robin woke
Robin.
up first, yeah.
Yep. And then Wiper, who woke up first, and then Zoro. The only exception to it is Gonfall did get hit before Robin, and he woke up like right before Zoro.
Chopper too. Chopper's been out for fucking
The,
ages.
but Chopper got hit with,
Oh, he got hit by the dog,
yeah,
right?
it was the dog with him. But yeah, I started thinking about that. Like the only exception to that, to the time thing, would be Gonfall because he was down longer. But I don't know. It was just something I noticed.
Could be.
So, yeah. Let's see. Because Sanji hasn't gotten back up yet after being hit a second time. He's still down. I'm like thinking through all of it. And but yeah, this episode I just felt like not a ton happened. Like just kind of Nami and Usopp and Sanji getting to where they were. I did like the meeting between Robin and Aisa though. And I thought it was funny. Aisa like, holy shit, you have hands, like a lot of hands.
Yeah, she was freaking out. You which by this point you would think that like she would not be so shocked. I mean, they just were inside of a snake for like 3 days.
It's very true.
I don't know. It's okay. Because she like freaked out at Luffy too when he started stretching. Get a life, kid.
I know,
Experience the
like,
world.
just, prepare for random hands to pop out of people. Like, it's a
Yeah,
thing.
you grew extra hands.
Okay, you ready for 187? Okay. A flashback begins from 400 years ago. Mont Blanc Noland sails the seas and hears something off in the distance. In the nearby island of Shandora, a girl prepares to sacrifice herself to the gods so a sickness will stop spreading throughout their village. Noland and his crew hit the shore and come across a young boy with tree fever. In the middle of the forest, the girl is taken to the sacrificial altar where she will await execution by snake. Just as the snake is about to eat her, Nolan appears and kills the snake. He realizes that instead of accepting any sort of progress or scientific reason, Kagura and his village only sacrifice lives to their gods and hope. Nolan has one day to prove his science before his entire crew is executed. As he explores, an earthquake hits and he gets stuck in the ground. So we get started on this flashback here, and I was really enjoying these episodes, like actually seeing what happened in the story of Nolan the Liar. And honestly, this flashback is one of my favorite parts of the whole arc. Like, I just really enjoyed it. It's really interesting to me. And I like watching it and seeing the way that they're conducting themselves and arguing with Nolan about their science, about his science and everything, and rejecting it. And I started thinking about it. I was like, I bet a lot of past civilizations conducted themselves in a similar manner to this. And there were likely a few instances where similar situations to this happened throughout the past between, an outdated culture such as this, like possibly with like the ones that come to mind, obviously based on the ruins, like, the Mayans, Aztec, stuff like that. Maybe there was some sort of civilization, like European explorers and stuff that came, and like they were just farther along, and maybe their science or their way of living and stuff like that. And it was probably hard for these outdated cultures and thought processes to develop after living one way for so many years. Like I know I remember it just popping in my mind now. I remember studying the Mayans in elementary school and
They
realizing
taught you that stuff in elementary
they
school?
talked about it a little bit in elementary schools, yeah. And I remember sitting there. So for those of you that are might not understand where I'm coming from, I grew up in the country. I grew up on a farm, and So one of the things I realized as we were talking about this in elementary school is that a lot of the planting methods that are used today in fields are actually stuff. It's methods that the Mayans used and the Aztecs used. Like ha the best way to plant on a hill so the water runs down instead of washing your plants away and stuff like that. Like that's still thing, thought process we use today when it comes to planting. So like some of it is absolutely innovative, I guess you would say, but I think there were a lot of ways that they weren't. One thing that I noticed on these episodes though that I was surprised when I got there, because like the whole time we've been watching these this arc, I've noticed the wings on the Shandorians and I've thought, okay, I thought I remembered, yeah, they get those after they get launched up because it's an evolutionary thing. They grow them to adapt to living in the sky now. No, they're on them
They already
now.
had them. Yeah, that
I
was
know.
surprising to me. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, well, damn, I guess like I remembered wrong. So now I want to know what the fuck is up with the wings.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm curious.
Like, yeah, I want to know why they had them down there. Like the sky people, again, I get it. It's an evolutionary thing, but now I want to know why the Shandorians had them before they were in the sky.
Yeah, that's a good question.
So yeah, it was just something that I noticed. I was like, well, son of a bitch. What'd you think of episode 187?
I liked this a lot, like this and the next one, because I feel like I've enjoyed pretty much all the flashback episodes that we've had so far. And then especially this one where it's going into all of this history. And this one in particular was very Aztec adjacent, because I know that they haven't really been too specific one way or the other if this, like if they were borrowing from Mayan, Aztec, Inca, whatever. It's all kind of a mash of the same, mash of like different aspects of each one. But this one in particular was like very Aztec, just because of the human sacrifice part of it. And I think they, in particular, because they worshipped a sun god, they did all of their sacrifices on the very top of their pyramids. They had like altars that were set up on the top so that it would be as close to the sun god as possible or whatever.
That makes sense. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I think it was just that. And then there was also a guy that was like dressed in a jaguar, like
Yes, like
headdress thing.
their chief or whatever.
Yeah, and I think like on the note of civilizations being at a different stage of advancement than others, the way that this was portrayed was nice, because this was like an instance of colonizers, if you want to call them that, coming in, but they were helping. They weren't taking over the land. They were, Noland is a botanist, and so he's kind of figured out that the was it tree fever is the disease that's going around, and like right away he's offering to give them medicine or like help them make the medicine so that they can cure the rest of the village. So that was like kind of a nice way of portraying a one culture kind of meshing with another one, as opposed to what
Taking
actually
over.
happened with the Aztecs, which is where they were just invaded and their land was stolen.
Absolutely. I was gonna say, like when I was talking about that earlier, I was like, hopefully it happened to the Aztecs more than once, because the time that I'm thinking of did not go well.
Yeah, nope, they were yeah, because that's the thing that happened to like completely opposite, like flip this, is that when outside Europeans came to these places, they brought disease with them that these civilizations didn't have before. So then that's why a lot of them just like died out quickly. I think that happened with the Mayans, but I could be wrong, but that does happen where the white men bring the disease.
Like Nolan was he was a very how do I want to say it? Like he as in a char as a character, he really captures your attention very well. Just 'cause like he's a botanist he was able to diagnose the kid very quickly, like, and know what kind of medicine he needed. So, like, you almost wonder, does he have some sort of medical background? I know he had a doctor on the ship too, but you know, you kind of felt like some medical background was there with him. And then later we see him fighting Kagura, which, based on the first scene we got on this episode, and like the legend that Wiper has talked about, the warrior Kagura and stuff like that. Obviously, Kagura is a very good fighter, and Noland was holding his own. And then he also seems like a great leader and a great person among his men. So it's like Noland was very impressive, and it's just like, what can't this man do?
Yeah, he seemed really nice because I mean, he didn't at all like question getting the medicine from his own supply to help the kid because I mean, I'm assuming when you're out on a ship for that long, you can get low on supplies and stuff. So, I mean, that was like a very generous move on his part to just like without a thought take his own stuff and help somebody else with it. And then he's like trying to save the sacrificial the girl at the top. This is Calgaro's daughter. What the fuck? Jesus Christ. I was like, excuse me, you guys are sacrificing a woman? What are you doing?
That was definitely a shocker for sure. I remember learning that. And so, like, going into it on this watch through, I did remember that it was his daughter, but I was like, man, that's still weird.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess it also shows that he believes in what he does too. So I mean, it just kind of shows you that his mindset, and I guess not even just his, but just his people's mindset, as far as that goes. Like, they very strongly believe in what they preach. Anything else on this one before we move on to 188?
We got to hear the bell in this
We
episode,
did.
which was cool. At first, I thought we kind of find out what the bell is later, but in this one, I was like, oh no, is that the human sacrifice bell? Like, is that what they ring when they're about to kill a person? And because and then everybody was like, oh, that's such a beautiful sound. And I was like, no, it's the death bell.
It's
Stop.
death. Damn it, I love the
Right.
sound
Yeah, that was pretty much it. And then I guess, I don't know, I assume that the earthquake was like a part of the sky or a part of the island being shot into the sky, but I don't know, maybe it's not.
death. Like the knock-up
Or like
scream hitting you.
foreshadowing, I guess. Yeah. We'll see if that's what happens.
I mean, it would make sense. That's kind of the way I was taking it as well.
Yeah.
Did you see Garrett's messages in the Discord the other day? So,
What'd he
listeners, we were talking
say?
about it like last week or something like that. That Garrett is working, our friend Garrett that reviewed the live action with us, is working on catching up in the anime, and he just got into the Sky Island arc,
Oh, the
and he
yeah.
was like, "What the fuck is with these fucking giants?"
Yep.
So he's officially in the Sky Island arc now,
He's
but
probably done
yeah,
with it by now.
he's moving right along. But yeah, so it was funny to see those messages. I like getting his reactions and stuff like that as he's watching through.
Yeah,
So
sounds like he's having a good time.
yeah. So, and listeners, feel free to send us your reactions as well. We would love to see them and hear them. Okay, episode 188. Kagura continues to poke at Nolan's ways as he lies trapped in the ground. In the meantime, the crew and the girl from earlier prepare their lives to be taken as sacrifices. Nolan is finally able to convince Kagura that he can save everyone in the village, and they celebrate with the crew. The next day, Kagura escorts Nolan and some of his crew to the City of Gold and their golden bell. Kagura gifts the treasure to the crew, and then shows Nolan what the Shandorians have actually guarded for generations, a poneglyph at the base of the Golden Bell. He explains that the bell is rung daily to announce that their ancestors, to announce to their ancestors where they are so they can come home in the afterlife. The crew and the Shandorians continue to get along great, and Kagura even offers Nolan the hand of his daughter Moose in marriage. Out of nowhere, the Shandorians are extremely cold a morning following another party. So I'll let you go first. What do you think of this final episode here that we reviewed?
Oh, this was exciting because we got to see the poneglyph. But we still don't know what the fuck it, what is it? Like, what does it say? They don't know. They didn't put it there. Who put it there?
Yeah, I think
More
Cogger even mentioned that.
questions.
They're like, we still don't know what it says.
Yeah, because he, I think Nolan thought that they would know because he figured it was like an ancestral thing of the Shandorians, but alas, yeah, so it seems like it's just been there for a while and they're the keepers of the phonoglyph. And I wonder why. I mean, I'm sure we'll find out at some point, but I just want to know like who put it there? What does it say? Why were these people specifically trusted to guard it?
Yeah, because they mentioned that their civilization collapsed protecting it,
Right,
and we
yeah.
know what like episodes ago or weeks ago or whenever we reviewed it, that when Robin was studying the ruins, she figured out that their collapse happened 800 years ago, so 400 years prior to where we're at now.
Right. Yeah, so more questions, but I mean, I guess I'm glad that we got confirmation that it was there. I don't know if it, I don't know. Well, I don't know if it's still there because Robin would have found it, I feel like.
I mean, she still has to
So,
find the bell.
yeah, that's true. She does. If did she? She thinks it's at the top of the beanstalk. But does she? Do we have a reason why she thinks that, or is she just guessing?
I
Or did
think
somebody
she
say that it was there?
I think she's got a strong guesstimate or whatever, an
Okay.
educated guess, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, I guess I was also surprised that the city was still like that whole part of it was still underground. So it's just like weird how I don't know how they did that. I don't know how they built all of that. But I mean, I guess that's interesting that the whole thing got pushed up into the sky, like both levels of their city. What else? Why is this place full of giant snakes? But then they found that like little one at the end. Oh man.
I thought it was interesting too, like the way the city is, because like all the buildings were straight up made of gold, but now they're not. Now it looks like just normal rock. And I was like, how does that happen?
I
Because
think they probably like coated all the rock in gold, you think, and then he just excavated only the gold bits of it.
maybe he did. Maybe that's it. Because like I was thinking of it like bronze, to where, I think I'm thinking of bronze, like where, or maybe I'm no, I'm thinking of copper, I think, to where it, after a period of time, it turns green.
Right, like the Statue of Liberty.
Exactly. But I was like, gold doesn't do that.
Yeah, I don't know, but then that also seems like too much work for him to purposefully leave the ruins there. Like I feel like he would just smash everything and collect the gold from that. So I don't know, or maybe he melted it. And so it melted off the stone.
That's a good point too. Like maybe his electric powers did that, like they did with the ball with Luffy. So I don't know. It's interesting. It was just something that I noticed.
Yeah. I really liked seeing the whole little best friend montage between Noland and Kagura,
Yes.
but then I knew it was going to end poorly because of how cute that montage was. I was like, oh, look at them. Like, I would love a little spin-off of the adventures of Noland and Kagura. And they're like making little food, making meals together, hanging out with a baby snake. I'm like, fuck, this is totally going to go the other way, isn't it? And it does. Oh, when they showed him bringing the pumpkin, I thought that was so funny.
You're thinking of pumpkin juice.
Yeah, because he like showed up with a big gourd and I was like, it's the pumpkin, it's the It's all his fault.
That's why the Shandorians lost their land, because Nolan
Yeah.
gave them a pumpkin, that son of a bitch. But yeah, I did like the friendship montage. That was fun.
Yeah.
Like you can see the extreme happiness on Kagura's face, but like obviously we don't know Kagura that well. But like, some of the other people like had the voiceover, oh, I've never seen him that happy before, and
Yeah.
so, but yeah, I did like that.
Yeah, that was nice. And then I guess we kind of like, then it just takes a sad turn at the end of the episode. And then they want, like, he is mad at them. We don't know why. I think it has something to do with they intercut this montage with chopping of a tree or chopping down of some kind of vegetation. And I think that has to be the reason
You think
why
so?
Kalgar is pissed now. Yeah, I don't, because I mean, they, I don't know why else they would have put it in there.
That's what I was going to ask you, what you thought, because whether it was something the trees or perhaps Noland rejecting Moose's hand in marriage, it feels weird calling her Moose.
Yeah, that sounds derogatory. I don't know.
It does. But because Noland did mention he was going to harvest plants around there before he left, so he kind of warned Kalgar about the trees. But you know, they showed the montage, like you said, of the trees being cut. But
Yeah.
then the other part that stood out to me is when Noland did see Kalgar again, and they're like getting in this little scrap. The first thing that Kalgar says is making Noland's wife a widow. So it's like he brings up the marriage right away.
Yeah.
And so I was curious how you took that. So it sounds like you think it's something with the trees.
Yeah, I think it's something with the trees.
Okay.
'Cause it, I mean, we didn't see they it was real close of a shot, so we couldn't see what kind of tree it was. So I guess I was kind of wondering, like, what is he doing? Like, why does he need so much? Because it seemed like it was a lot that was being cut down. I mean, it could have just been the one tree and they had a really blunt axe and they had trouble, but I was kind of wondering if he was like maybe trying to build them a shelter or like trying to build them some kind of a like a greenhouse or something like that. Because he said he has one on the ship where he keeps all of his plants and stuff. So I was like, maybe he's trying to build them something. But yeah, we don't know yet. So that's unfortunate. I wanted them to be best friends forever.
I did like at the very beginning of this episode, while and even last episode too, that Nolan has made several great points when he's talking to Kagra and some of the other villagers. Like if their gods cared so much for their civilization and their lives, then why would they want sacrifices? Wouldn't they want them to cherish their lives instead of sacrifice? And I think he also hit the nail on the head when he called Kagra out for being scared. And scared that Nolan was right. Because like putting myself in Kagura's shoes there, I would be like, that would scare the hell out of me that he was right. Like, because if he's correct, then it means all of those sacrifices in the past have been pointless. All of those innocent lives just thrown away out of ignorance. And that sucks. Like, from Kagura's standpoint, I would hate to think that. For how many years and how many sacrifices and all of it for nothing because of ignorance. I would just hate that so much.
Right. And then it's like a whole belief system too. It's like, so now
Yes.
what do I have? Because a lot of people, it's comforting to have something that they believe in. And so now it's suddenly just gone.
Absolutely. That's a great point as well from a belief standpoint. I definitely hadn't thought about it at that deep, I guess you would say. Until just now, I think that's a very strong thing as well. And we already kind of talked about it. Kalgra mentions in this episode that the girl being sacrificed is his daughter. I noted it here, but in the last episode, he tosses her the knife on the sacrificial altar, and he says, "Girl, take this knife and take your own life." And I was like, why are you addressing your daughter as girl?
She has a name. It's Moose, you
Yeah.
weirdo. You
And
gave her that weird name.
I was just like, you would think if you know it's that you're, and I get like Odo is like trying to hide the fact that it's possibly related to him, but honestly, if he called for her name, I wouldn't think anything of it. Like, it's a
Yeah.
small village, you know people,
Right.
you
Yeah.
know. But I think he was obviously trying to hide the fact that it was Kalgar's daughter, but it's going to be interesting to me because I didn't I noticed it a couple times, but like over the next episode or two that we're still in this flashback, I'm curious if he ever calls her girl again. I think because I he only mentioned her a couple other times in this episode, and he addressed her as Moose both times. So I'm just curious why that one time he would call her girl.
Maybe he couldn't do it because it would be acknowledging that it's his kid.
Maybe and maybe that's it as well. Maybe he was trying to, in a way to put this, objectify her so that the
Yeah.
thought of her taking her own life didn't hurt
Right.
as much being his daughter.
Yeah.
It's like I could see that being part of it as well, for sure. So Whitney and I talked about this last week, because the snake, whenever they fall through and the snake is like looking around and starts crying, and then Eneru shocks it. And now we see this little tiny snake that is presumably the same snake that we see present day, that's just grown up. And it's like it makes sense now why the snake was looking around, why the snake was crying out of joy for finally seeing these ruins that he grew up around and hasn't been able to get to for so long, being stuck up there with the clouds. I mean, so like I know what did you think of all that? Like,
Yeah, I was sort of wondering if that was the snake. I was like, oh, is that the same one? It's cute now. I mean, it's still cute when it's big, but poor thing. That, like, I know you guys were talking about this last week about how gross it was that they were poking his eyeball from the inside. That was super weird. Like, that doesn't make any sense. And it just looked so uncomfortable.
But I think this scene made it a little bit more sad that Eneru shocked it when he
Yeah.
did. Like, it was just because it was. The snake was finally reunited with his home, with something that he's been guarding for, all this
Right.
time that his ancestors have been guarding. He's finally there, and just like that, it gets taken away from him. So honestly, I think it made me hate Anaru a little bit
Yeah, that
more.
is sad. And then, like, plus his friends weren't there. Like the people that he hung out with.
For sure. Like, and maybe he was looking around for them,
Yeah, that's sad. Oh, poor snake. MVP's the snake.
I mean, we have given it the piece of shit already.
Yeah. Whoops. It's okay.
Hey, it wasn't the snake's fault, though.
It was the situation. It
It
was
was
them being
this.
stuck inside of the snake.
Yes. Okay, anything else on these episodes before we move on to our extracurricular shit?
I like that the bell is called the Fire of Shandora.
Ah, I like that too. I
Very
agree.
dramatic. Yeah. That was it.
Okay. Any quotes that you have left to say?
No quotes this time. I think just those episode titles were kind
Okay.
of entertaining.
Yeah, for sure. A manifestation.
I feel like it just completely continues to revolve around the bell or the poneglyph. It's I just want to know what is going on there. I want to
Yeah,
know who put it there.
you want answers, damn
Yes.
it. Okay, piece of shit. I like you. I kind of decided on it here within these last 5 minutes. I know he didn't do it in this set of episodes, but I
Eneru.
want to give it to Eneru for
Yeah.
fucking taking the snake's joy away from him. Damn it.
Yeah, this dude's fucking everything up. I mean, yeah, he's I know he's like just in general not a good guy, but yeah, I mean, everything that he's done is terrible.
Yeah, but is it, yeah, and like I get he's supposed to be the bad guy, but still, like, shocking that
Yeah.
snake in his one moment of joy
I know we don't like violence towards
it
animals
was an
here.
extra shitty
Yeah,
thing
I don't really have anybody else beyond that, so.
to do. Okay. MVPs.
I kind of want to say Usopp, honestly, because he contributed a lot.
I really like Usopp was my going through the first three episodes, I was like, Usopp is taking the MVPs here. But
Yeah.
then watching the last two, like, I was like, damn it, I kind of want to give it to Nolan.
Oh, true. Nolan's a good one too. I
Yeah,
don't know.
I really liked what everything that Nolan was doing in those last two episodes. Like, he was really changing the Shandorians a lot and helping them in so many ways. But yeah, that's where I'm at. Like, I'm on the fence between Usopp and Nolan. Usopp, present day Nolan,
I know. I almost
flashback.
wonder. I would be fine going either way, but then I kind of wonder if we should see how the Nolan story wraps up before we
Before we
decide,
give it to
or
him.
yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, I also don't mind giving it to him because he did do a lot of nice things. So,
Yeah, it like
we
I'm
could
kind
ask
of
Whitney. Whitney can tie break for us, maybe.
maybe so. We can do that. We'll ask Whitney, and because I know she watched the episodes because she was prepared to join us today, but she just wasn't feeling like it. So we can message Whitney, and I will put it in the show details of what we come up with. I'm gonna send her a message right the fuck now and see what she says.
Winnie, get up. I'm just kidding. Feel better. We miss you.
Okay. So I just sent her a message, so we'll see what she says. Maybe she'll respond super freaking quick.
Perhaps.
Okay, so because Sky Island is going to, or because oh, okay, maybe. That was so helpful, Whitney. Damn
Yes, it's fine.
it.
We can consult with her afterwards.
Damn it. Okay. She responded, shit, I don't know.
It's all good.
Damn it. Okay, I know. Everybody just loves listening to me type. Okay, so we are coming to the end of Sky Island. And because of that, so not next week, we will not be finishing, but the following week, if we did our normal five. Okay, so the MVPs is Nolan.
Okay, sweet. Nolan it
Okay,
is.
Nolan it is. So, because if we did five episodes next week, we would only have two episodes for the last week. So, to try to even it out a little bit more, we are doing four episodes next week and three the following week, to end the arc in 2 weeks. So our episodes for next week are 189 to 192. Anything else before we head on out of here?
No. Feel free to send us an email or something. We don't have very much interaction with our listeners. We
Yeah.
would like for that to change.
Yeah, we would like to
So,
hear from you,
yeah,
actually.
reach out.
Yeah. And speaking of that, you can reach us
Talk to
on
me, I'm lonely. Kidding.
you can reach us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Going Merry Pod. We've had a couple good TikToks go out recently that have gotten quite a few likes because I
Yep.
one that I posted last week set our new record for likes, and then the one that I posted this week even just beat that one.
Oh, nice. I haven't seen that one. I gotta look at that one.
Yeah, it's a clip from last week with Anaru. And then you can also shoot us an email at strawhatpod@gmail.com. I don't remember. Did I give our tags for Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok? I feel like I just started talking about TikTok and I don't think I actually gave them. Whatever. It's
You know where to find
at Going Merry Pod, damn
it. I don't remember. I'm
it.
so nice that I'm not listening. It's fine. I am listening. I just
It's just,
butterflies.
just you're listening, you're not absorbing
Yeah.
it.
Story of my life.
You can also support us by leaving feedback and a rating on your podcast platform of choice. It is very much appreciated, and we look forward to
We
hearing from
read
you
all of them.
all. We do. So I hope everyone has a great week. See ya.
Bye.